God rising Jesus from the dead occurred. That's not where the if is. The if is, did you accept it? That's where the if is. Did we say, I'm on board with this? Did we say, I know Jesus rose from the grave? Did we say, I know, I believe God raised him? Because when that happens, when we acknowledge it, Christ guarantees that we believers will also rise from the grave. This isn't the only place Paul wrote this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, to highlight this, Paul said in that great theological moment, he said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Paul was acknowledging, this isn't the only two places, across Scripture, that Jesus being the firstborn back to life forever, not life that will come and then die again like Lazarus. No, back to life, qualitatively different, that when we accept that, when we accept the resurrection, then we go with God into heaven. Now back to chapter 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul said, for us believers, now that you've been raised with Christ, we know where he is. We know his position in eternity. And Paul acknowledges that it's the right hand of God. Now back then, in kingly era, and now in heavenly era, the right hand of God is a place in which the king has conferred special prominence to that person. Only one person sits on the right hand. And that person is someone who's done something incredible for the kingdom, like for Jesus, firstborn of the dead. But also the right hand of God is a place of incredible power, because the king sees this person as being the one he can trust, and then confers all the power through this person, the person who's sitting on the right hand. All the power is conferred through that. Now, the reason why this is important, that Paul tells us that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, is because when you face troubles, and you will, when trials come your way, and it will, whenever you have temptation, and they're there. Whenever pain is part of your life, and yes, we have that. And whenever you fill in the blank next, what you may be facing, we don't just get a pat on the back from God through Jesus. We don't just get an attaboy, hang in there. We don't get that from Jesus. You know why? He sits on the right hand of God. Jesus has the power to make our lives quantitatively different. And so whenever we do face these trials, Jesus extends power for us to be able to go through them. Whenever we face temptations, Jesus extends his power so we can withstand them. Whenever we face pain and it's part of our life, Jesus infuses us with the power he has available to him so that we can rise above our pain and show integrity in the midst of our pain. When we accept the reality that Christ is on the right hand of God, we live in the fact that Christ will help us, can help us, get through whatever we may face. He'll be there with us in our time of need. Now last week, when the mission team shared with you what they went through, I didn't share anything. I don't know if y'all noticed that, because I saved mine for sermons. This is one of them. We had a chance to do some yard work, beautification, for one of the ladies in Kentucky. She had a beautiful home, but the home was locked down because the home was filled with black mold. And so she had a key. She opened it up for us to be able to see in, and it smelled disgusting. And then we didn't go in. And we also could see, like, dots of black mold over everything. The house had been condemned. So she was able to purchase another home, a trailer, that sat on one of their piece of property that's lower. Everything in Kentucky is either up or down. Let's be fair. There's nothing flat in Kentucky. All right? So her other house sat on the lower level. In the house was her husband. A variety of physical ailments he had, he was bedridden in a hospital bed. So when the woman found out that I was a pastor, and I'll tell you what, unique experiences when people find you're a pastor. I did lots of discussion then. Well, she pulled me aside, and she shared with me the depth of how scared she was and didn't think she could go on. everything that she had invested in had been taken away. For a time, they lived in the garage before the house arrived, and she was just almost to the limit. I shared with her, "You got here." She said, "Yes, I made it through." I said, "There's only one reason why you got this far. That's the power of God. That Jesus, who sits on the right hand of God, extended just enough for you to get through." And she was shocked at the idea. I said, "If you were going to fail, you were already failed. The point is, God lifted you and carried you through. I don't know where God's going to take you from here, but God will not fail you because you're resting your heart in Jesus Christ." It was like a light bulb went on in her head. And she was able to see God will always be there with her through this event. That's what it means when we say that Christ is on the right hand of God. God will lift us up and carry us through. Now, having said that, the Apostle Paul then turns to a different thought. He says, "Now that you know where Christ is on the right hand of God, remain hidden in Christ. Remain hidden in God, resting in Christ." Now, why? Why would he even mention this? What difference does it make that we're hiding ourselves in Christ? So I went to the Greek word for that. By the way, it's in verse 3, if you're following along. The Greek word is only used once in all of the New Testament. The variation of that word, there's about 15 of them throughout the New Testament, but this word used once. And the word actually means to be, like, taken away from influence, to be locked down, where something from the outside cannot taint you, cannot change you. So I thought, how can I illustrate this? At home, I have this little box. It's about that big. You know what it is? It's a home safe. And when I was, after my surgery, I could not pick the thing up. It's heavy. It's a fire-resistant safe. So I set it on the desk so that I could actually get into it if I needed. Otherwise, it'd be on the floor and I'd die. So, but there's a reason why I put all my valuables in this thing. You know, I have my birth certificate, my social security card. We have all the numbers for our bank are in here. It's locked down. If these come in, they can't get into it unless they know where the key is. This is what it means to be hidden in Christ. We're locked down, away from the influences and the fear of the world. Let me give you another example. Periodically at church, we have a lock-in. So we get the youth here. We lock all the doors. Okay? No one gets in unless we let them in. And the reason for a lock-in is so that we can share Christian principles. We can share a Christian time together, and the influences of the world stay outside. They're not able to get in and affect our teenagers. So that's why we have a lock-in. So this is what Paul's telling us, that when we are with Christ, we should be in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we're locked out. Now, the way Paul put this in verse 2 was, "Set your mind on things above, not things here on earth." Because what happens is when we set our mind on things on earth, we step out of the hidden place of Christ, and we're back into the world. And the things of the world are not destined for us to enjoy eternity. You realize, all of us were made to live forever. That's part of what God did. When he made us in the image of God, when God made us in his likeness, he put something in us that was meant to live on, to have this special relationship with God. And when we have this relationship with God, we are enhanced at a deep, deep level. That's what Paul was saying. Hide yourself in Christ so that you can know the depth of what God created you to be. Push all those other things aside. In fact, actually, Paul put it this way. He said, put to death the things of this world. And he ran down a list. You know, don't try and fit in with culture. Don't use drugs. Don't use alcohol, pornography, pleasure, greed. All those things should stay out there because they have no place when you're in Christ. And we're called to put to death these passions. And when we do that, interestingly enough, passions lead to sin, which lead to separation from God. So we're going to try and push those things out. Humans, we try and fill that out. We try and fill that God hole up with things of the world. It can't do it. It's like throwing into a black hole. You cannot. The only place in which we can fill lead We can feel loved. We can feel is when we attach ourselves to God in Jesus. All that junk that we try and put in to satisfy us, can't do it. I got another Kentucky story. As we drive around in Kentucky, it's amazing because there's not a straight line in Kentucky. Everything goes like this. You know, our drivers, Hank and Chris, no. There's no straight line. Just when you think, I can go stealing it, oh, there's a curve. And the curve goes off into an embankment, which down into the creek and who knows where. All right, so as you're driving along around all these curves, you're like, oh, look at that really nice house. What is that? And you come along a house that everything they've ever owned is in the front yard. An old washing machine, out in the front yard. The mower that doesn't work, front yard. We've seen things like stuff out of your bathroom, I don't want to name it, out in the front yard, okay? And you ride by going, there's a ton of junk in that yard. Is this somehow, some way, by keeping it, it would make our lives better? But this is what we do as humans. We try and keep the things of the world, thinking it'll make our life better. So in verse 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, let go of the junk that's emotional in nature that taints you. Get rid of the bitterness, the pain from the past, because in hiding Christ, that's removed. Now, the last part of here, if you're following along the sermon outline, is that we have a new life. The new life means two things happen with us. That when we hide ourselves in Christ, all those things that emotionally taint us, God heals us. Whether it be your bitterness or dragging that past with you wherever you go, fears of the future that we bring into the present, when we are in Christ and we rest our hearts in Him, He bathes us in His love in such a way that we're refined. We're refined, we don't need those sins. We're purified, we don't need those awful thoughts. We're healed, we don't need the past, we don't need to worry about the present or about the future. All those things that used to hurt us, becoming who God created us to be, when we rest ourselves in Christ, we're healed. We get incredible perspective. Let me give you a story. One of the favorite writers I love is C.S. Lewis. And if you've never read the Narnia series, I feel bad for you. I read it about every 3 years, all 7 books. One of my favorite books is The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And here, C.S. Lewis seeks to show to us the healing power being in Christ. In the Narnia book series, the Christ figure is Aslan. He's a big lion. And in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, we get introduced to an angry, selfish, prideful little boy whose name is Eustace. In fact, he gets a nickname, Useless Eustace. Because in functioning in this world today, guess what? Being angry, selfish, and prideful, he is useless. So during the course of the book, he comes into an encounter with Aslan. And Aslan purifies him. The lion with his big paw and the paw claw begins to peel away layers of skin. All that bitterness, all that pain, all that pride get taken away. And Eustace describes it as being horribly painful and freeing all at the same time. At the end result, when all of that's shed off, that Aslan has taken it all away, Eustace now becomes useful. Because all those things that got in the way, that he hung on to so powerfully, are now healed. Because he met the ultimate healer. Now for us, that means when we hide ourselves in Christ, when we allow Christ to work on us, he heals us of all those things that negatively affect us. That's what it means to have new life. That's part one. Part two of new life is that we're given protection. When we hide ourselves in Christ, we're refraining from the world. We can now see the world as Christ sees it, because we're using Christ as the vehicle through which we see. We're given protection against our temptation. It stays out there. And we're given power to function in this world as Christ would have intended. That's the excitement of being able to stand in Christ. Because the right hand of God, the person at the right hand of God, now pours that power into us so we can deal with the world today. I had a different illustration for this moment. But last night was so exciting. If you didn't come to the community event, we're going to have another one next year. You're invited. I want to thank the committees who were responsible for this, Christian Ed and membership support. It was a wonderful event. We put our moon bounces out. We played lawn games. We had food. We had people here visiting, people from outside the community. And one person came specific. It was a homeless man. He rode his bike here. He had all his possessions in a little tiny cart behind him. I mean, a tiny cart. It was obvious he was homeless. His hair was not combed. His beard was not trimmed. He did not smell like I did. Even after putting up the moon mounts, he still did not smell like me. And I have to pat our church members on the back because they treated him like anyone else. We didn't do the temptation of the world, which I'm going to judge you based on what you look like, how you smell, how you can affect me. Nope, we did none of that. Our church members sat and visited with him. We gave him multiple meals. The leftover popcorn, he took home with him. He sat in the movie theater, which is a conference room, and we watched the movie together. We did things that you would normally do with someone who you're friends with. We did not know him. We did not meet him before. But he became a friend. That's the hiding in Christ. So we don't respond like the world. We respond like Jesus would. Welcoming and loving. We told John he should write it, that's his name. He should write a book because his experiences were like, he didn't really need it. I'll see if it comes out. It's interesting. So as a wrap up, the Apostle Paul gives us Colossians 3 for a reason. To reset our viewpoint of how we function in Christ. He says, put to death all those things that take you away. Push them aside. And one of the ways of guarding so it doesn't happen again is you rest yourself in Christ. You hide yourself in Christ. And by hiding yourself in Christ, he heals us of all that pain we travel with, that pain we drag along with us. And in the end result is, we can now see with the eyes of Christ. And we can see the world as it's intended because God is remaking us in his image. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, and you are wonderful. Thank you, incredible God, you are incredible. You don't judge us based on how we smell, or what we look like, or the sins that we drag with us. Instead, you send a Savior, so that none of that has to be present in our lives, so that we can live as you intended. Thank you for the call to be light in this world, that we follow Jesus, that we're not to hide our light, rather we're to let it shine. And the way we do that is we rest ourselves in you. We hide in Christ. So Christ becomes the vehicle that rules in all of us. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.